It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. John Moe is away. I'm Jeff Horwich. We've talked a lot about computing in the cloud, keeping your data and programs on some distant server, accessing things remotely from anywhere with a connection. Whether you like that idea or not, the cloud may be coming to you, courtesy of your company. The Google Chromebook is a portable computer running Google's Chrome operating system, and it's aimed at replacing the Windows systems most of us use at work with the cloud. Darren Murph is a managing editor with Engadget, who is at the Chromebook unveiling this week. He says, imagine a 10-second boot up, then a web browser, and that's it.
When consumers turn this computer on, they're going to try to minimize the web browser, but you can't, because the web browser is the computing experience. And what Google is saying is that all of the critical tools we need, email, word processing, photo viewing, movie viewing, all of that can be done within the web browser.
The main markets here initially are companies and schools, rather than selling the Chromebooks directly to consumers. Why is that?
If you have a class full of 30 or 40 kids, you only have an hour to spend with them. If they all can open up a notebook, punch in a single username and ID, and within 30 seconds, their system is pulled up, you don't lose a lot of time. So all of the students are already geared in, they're ready to go. And then when the class is over, they just click log out. And when the next class comes in, they can use these exact same computers, and nothing from the previous class will be left on. That kind of simplicity is not available on any other operating system that's available today.
And for companies, the pitch is also massive simplicity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some reports out there that say, you know, it costs between $2,000 and $3,000 in a given year to set a computer up for someone, provision it, give them all the right permissions, and then deal with all the tech support that comes along with that.
As you would imagine, where data lives has huge implications for how safe data is. Alan Friedman is research director at the Brookings Center for Technology Innovation. He says Google's pitching a substantial upside when it comes to security.
You get economies of scale when you start talking about the ability to secure it, the ability to monitor for bad behavior, and the ability to protect it against internal malicious behavior. You know, it's easier for one company to basically say, listen, trust us, and we'll do a very, very good job, than having to trust a bunch of other companies.
But law of unintended consequences, right? Here, what could go wrong with centralizing all this data?
Google could screw up. And we've seen no matter how much we trust a company, there are always small things that happen. Mistakes get made. There are malicious insiders. And companies, of course, work very, very hard to protect against this. But there could be a failure in the service. We've seen Amazon suffer in their cloud services recently. That took a lot of major websites online. Sony PlayStation's network failed, meaning for more than a month, people haven't been able to play video games online through their system. The broader feature, which we're going to learn more about over time, is what are the risks? So instead of someone just having to compromise my machine, if they get my Google credentials, now do they have access to all of my data in a way that you wouldn't know about, that you might be able to detect either if someone walked off your laptop or you're running antivirus software and you discover there is something happening on your machine in real time. So we have the risk of having a larger class of attacks that could happen without you knowing.
It was a week of pop superstars dabbling in online gaming. Lady Gaga and the Farmville people got together to launch something called Gagaville. And Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers debuted this score we're listening to for the game Wizard 101.
I'd first heard about the game actually because my little brother, who's 10, is a fan. When he found out that I was going to be doing some music for it, he kind of showed it to me. And I went on and played a little bit, and it was immediately evident what the music should sound like.
If you want to catch us tweeting about things like how we're about to call up Nick Jonas, follow us on Twitter at Marketplace Tech. I'm Jeff Horwich, in for John Moe. This is Marketplace Tech Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.